we heard music by Richard Heuberger in Chambre Separée, played by the Symphony Nova Scotia with Boris Broad conducting. You're listening to the New Classical FM on Classical Mornings. It is 9:25. I'm Jean Stillwell, and I've got Audie Brown.
She has been described as follows. Versatile, rising mezzo-soprano Riab Shayeb created the widest imaginable spectrum of emotion in strong, rich tones. Musically and expressively, her performance was well-nigh flawless and highly communicative. Thus spoke the Boston Musical Intelligencer just this past August 2022. And we are thrilled this morning to be speaking to one of the Carmens at the COC right now. Her name is Riab Shayeb. Bonjour.
Bonjour, Adi.
Bonjour. We are so thrilled. So thrilled to have you here.
Merci, merci. Me too. I'm very excited to be here.
You biked here, you said, right?
I did. I ordered an Uber, and then he was just 10 minutes late, and I said, no, I can't. So I have one of those passes, the city bike passes.
Yes, good idea.
For the year. It's not that bad, actually. Yeah. And I've used it so much, I just biked here.
It keeps you in great shape, too.
Exactly.
Now, I have watched your career blossom since I first heard you in the COC's ensemble. Tell us a bit about your musical journey from there on.
Well, it was quite interesting, you know. After the COC, I did 3 years at the COC where we met, and after that, I had a few rocky years. I'd say a year and a half of you know, not much work, and I tried to do auditions, and it didn't work out. I even went back to the COC and I sold subscription at the telemarketing department for 6 months. After, like, in 6 months prior, I was singing Sesto on the stage of the COC. It was a bit wild, but I had to do. You know, I had to survive, and, you know, you have to do what you need to do. And then a few months later, actually, I got the gig to do Valkyra
right
here at the COC, which was my first kind of out of ensemble gig. And that went really well. And shortly after, I got an email from the Metropolitan Opera, a bit unbeknownst to me, that they've been kind of following my career. And I know Alexander Neve has given a good word for me, and Brian Ziegler has been following my career for a little bit, which is funny because I'm actually doing a recital with Brian Ziegler in December.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so after that, after 3 rounds of auditions, I ended up going to the Metropolitan Opera Lindemann program, and I was there for a wonderful 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So because, you know, I kind of regret I didn't do my master's after doing my bachelor. I just went right away to the COC ensemble.
Right.
But so I think I took the Lindemann as really like my polishing.
Sure.
My polishing years. You know, I felt like my technique was strong, but just not there yet. And I felt like I didn't have the whole package in terms of acting and confidence on stage and languages, especially.
Right, right, right.
And the Metropolitan Opera was really nice for that because they sent us every summer to the country of our choice
to learn
the language of our choice. They give us a stipend, and I spent, you know, 3 summers in Italy.
Fantastic.
Learning Italian. And it was just really, really amazing. And after that, you know, you get an agent, you do some competition. Mm-hmm. I know one of them, Operalia, was a big deal for me because I already have my current agent at that time. But 2018, I won third prize at Operalia, and that really helped the push.
Like launched you, right? Yeah.
The launch, which was, I finished a Met in May 2018, and I got into Operalia in like September 2018. So since then, it's been blossoming, and I've been having a wonderful time and meeting wonderful people.
Yeah.
And yeah,
stars aligning. So you've been singing at some of the premier opera houses in the world. What have been recent highlights for you of roles or places you've been?
Well, so of course the Met is always a highlight, and we just finished in the spring we did a almost fully sold out production of Akhenaten by Philip Glass.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And you were Nefertiti?
I was Nefertiti. Oh. Yeah. So that was pretty amazing. What else? I've done Dorabella in Washington. a world premiere at Houston Grand Opera. I was also doing a wonderful world premiere in Geneva when COVID happened, but now it's postponed to this upcoming spring.
And what is it? Oh, can you say?
Yeah, of course. It's called Voyage vers l'espoir, so A Journey of Hope. It's actually based on a Swiss-Turkish movie from the 90s, I think. It's a wonderful story.
How exciting is that?
Yeah, and by German composer Christian Jost.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is like, it's heart-wrenching.
Gripping,
gripping. Mm-hmm. It's actually based on true facts. Mm-hmm. It's the story of a family, a Turkish family, who are trying to, go to a better life, like a lot of immigrants do, you know, and they don't know what lies in the road ahead. And they have to actually, all their plans fall through. And then they actually have to go through the Alps by foot, you know, and then there's tragedy. And it's a stunning libretto. It's a stunning story. And
exciting to be part of a world premiere, though, too, right?
Yeah. And Cornel Mundroxo, I'm sorry if I'm butchering the name, but he's the
sounds good to me.
He's the director, and he's actually a Hungarian movie producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a few movies, and a few of them are on Netflix, actually. So
great.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So you are here. Well, you're physically actually here because you're currently starring in the title role of Carmen. Now, I was thinking this is a much coveted role sung by mezzos and some jealous sopranos. And she's been portrayed in so many different ways. Who is Carmen to you?
Yeah, that is the big question. And I feel like every time I do it, it evolves. But right now, how I feel, especially with what's going on in the world, you know, with what's happening in Iran. But even before that happened, you know, it always, femicide and control of women has always been there, you know. And what I feel Carmen is, she's someone who was unfortunately born in the wrong decade, you know, in the wrong era. She's someone who has guts, who has courage. She doesn't want to be controlled, not by just men, but by anybody, you know, women either. That's why she's like, if Manuelita, she says something bad, she's going to answer back. She's going to say and speak her mind. It's just that at the time, that wasn't really acceptable. You know, women were supposed to act a certain way. So, you know, Carmen for me is just, she's a free spirit. And I feel like if she was born like now in the 90s or now, it wouldn't be that much of a big deal. But, you know, recently with the news of what's happening in Iran with the women, it's like, no, actually, Carmen's story is still happening now.
It's relevant, right?
It's relevant. Mm-hmm. You know, the control of men over women is still relevant. Femicide is still relevant. So to me, it's not just about this, you know, sultry, vixen, femme fatale. It's more of a political political point of view.
It's like self-liberation, you know.
Of course.
For sure.
And she says, you know, jamais Carmen ne cédera, libre elle est née et libre elle mourra. Why does a woman have to actually say these words so strongly and almost in a screaming manner, in a declamatory manner? Because for so long, for eons, we've been put down, you know, we've been not heard, and we have to really go almost on the offense to really own our liberty, you know, and own our freedom.
Right, exactly. What's unique about this production? Setting, costumes, anything like that?
Yeah, so Joel Ivany, the director, has decided to put it, to kind of set it in Cuba, 1920, 30. So it's very sexy. I love my costume. but it's also, you feel like there's a little bit of political, you know, political stress because, you know, of what happened also in Cuba at the time. What's also very special about this is that there's a lot of friends in the cast, you know, old friends, new friends.
Like, but homecoming for you a bit?
Yeah. And like, you know, I've worked with Joel I met Joel in 2010. We did school tour together in like...
Hansel and Gretel, right?
Hansel and Gretel. We've also done... we've done a few, I think. I think we've done... yeah, I mean, Hansel and Gretel was one of them, but it traveled everywhere in Ontario. So it's really nice to come back and share these moments with special people. I think it's quite of a traditional, like it's not a traditional, it's not like Spain flamenco time, you know, but it's not in Civi really per se, but it has that traditional vibe. But it goes outside a little bit. And what I love as well is what Joel does at the Act 4. I don't want to spoil it too much, but there's a lot of interaction in Act 4 that I think the audience will really enjoy.
Oh. Well, I thought we'd come to a special moment here because we are sitting with a bit of Carmen royalty. We've got two Carmens. I might just leave the room when you ladies take over. But I'm going to say, from Carmen to Carmen, Jean and then also Rehab, what was your personal experience, your first experiences as Carmen? Can you share that with Rehab and us? And then afterwards, you ladies just go at it. What are your craziest memories of your Carmens? So,
you know,
Jean,
Audie, really, do you have 2 or 3 hours?
Exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll speak to you tomorrow.
But don't we always, we'll always remember our first.
Always remember our first. And mine was at Expo 86 in Vancouver. And it was Lucien Pintilier who directed it. And he was a theater director living in New York City. It was insane.
I saw it.
And it was in English. And it was a brilliant, brilliant piece. I mean, what he did with it. But, I mean, in Act 3, because you're in the mountains in Act 3, I took my wig off and had a buzz cut. Oh. Yeah. And it was just... it was
J. Jane.
Yeah, it
J.
was
J. Jean.
Wild.
That's exactly what it was.
You know, it was just wild. And the Escamillo was... he was... someone knifed him in the buttocks and stuff, so he was made to be a clown. And when Micaela comes on, Don José, I was painting his face with makeup. Just weird stuff like that.
That is so interesting because my first one was also very particular.
Yes.
It was in Köln, in Cologne, Germany.
Right?
And another wonderful young female stage director, Lydia Steyer. She's American and lives in Germany. But it was all of that. Like, I loved her idea, but it was very special. So first of all, I was on stage the entire time.
Ooh.
The entire time. And I was dressed, it was kind of in those carniceria, which is the meat market, you know, butcher market in Spain. I was dressed as literally Tomb Raider / G.I. Jane. I was dressed, you know, and she really did not want any sexuality, any sensuality. It was all rough. It was all like, you know, take down the patriarchy.
Like raw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's a few moments where, well, for instance, I killed myself at the end. Because José did not...
That's interesting.
Yeah, because he just didn't have the... He just could not do it. And I said, you know, either kill me or let me go. And he just could not do it. So I just took the knife of his out of his hand. I sliced my face open, you know. And actually, Joker just came out. So it kind of... I think she was a bit inspired by that. And then I just killed myself. Like, I sliced myself.
Wow. I mean, I think you ladies should go for coffee after the show and discuss.
No. But then it's funny because after that, I feel like I can do anything.
Right.
Just throw any Carmens at me. Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so it kind of put the bar really high in terms of endurance and of, you know, how wild the role of Carmen and the production of Carmen can go. And now I feel like everything's kind of reachable.
You'll be doing it for many years.
And don't
you
find that the thing about Carmen is that she happens in seminal moments in your life. So everything happens around Carmen because Carmen sells out. It just does.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got a ton of Carmens in your life.
Yes, but I'm also being very careful, actually.
Oh, good.
I'm going to be very honest with you. Like, I have been invited to sing quite a few Carmens, but I'm keeping it to one or two a year just because I don't want to go that road. I'm still quite young. You know, after... I'm still doing Cherubinos and Dorabellas and singing Handel, you know. So I don't want to go in that path too early. I want to keep my Carmen fresh and young because to me, Carmen is like, it's four act, but it's four Carmens, you know. Like the first act, she's Cherubino. She's like, you know, very flirtatious. She's a bit like Rosina in Barber of Seville. You know, there's that je ne sais quoi lightness. And then as the acts go through, as the opera goes, it gets a bit heavier. But I'm trying to keep it contained. Like, I don't want to do too much. And I do one a year or maybe two a year in specific places. And,
You know, God, we would really sit here and talk for a long time, but sadly we're running out of time. And I just want to ask you, after Carmen and Carmen in Calgary, what's coming up next? What other roles are you singing this season?
So roles, I do have Cherubino at LA Opera.
Great.
I'm doing this world premiere Voyage vers l'espoir at Grand Théâtre de Genève in Geneva. I'm doing my house debut and my big girl Verdi role debut. I'm doing Fenena in Nabucco at Bayerische Staatsoper.
Bayerische Staatsoper, yay!
And so those are the roles. And I have one more. It's Ruggero in Alcina in Manitoba Orchestra in Winnipeg. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
With Tracy Dahl and Jane Archibald.
Wow. Well, I think Toronto Orient audiences are going to be in for a real treat.
I do
not
too.
Only to hear you, I remember, but also to see your very thoughtful and rich portrayal of Carmen. Mm-hmm. And where can you do this at the Canadian Opera Company? October 20th and 22nd. Just two performances, right?
Yes.
Don't want to miss them.
Well, you've been listening to the wonderful Riab Shayeb, Canadian-Tunisian mezzo-soprano. We're so happy you biked by this morning.
Congratulations on all your success. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Jean. Thanks, Adi.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.